Hi, everybody. Thank you very much for coming. I'd like to thank you for joining us and also for your patience. Understand the timing was a little off for us today, so thank you for waiting. I can't tell you how excited I am to be here today next to this man. David really is sort of the culmination of a very long and I think thorough process. And he's truly, as I went through it, I was looking back at the criteria we set out more than a month ago. He's truly the embodiment of every characteristic we most sought in a coach. And I think those things that I focused on with David and as we went through the process that spoke to us so powerfully, he's a guy who has passion, creativity, and intelligence. And as a coach, he's able to adjust in ways that I think make him special because of those things. But he lives those things as a man as well. And because of that, players all feel him in a very powerful way. David is an authentic leader. And I believe very strongly that's what drew all of us to him. So as we've moved through this whole offseason, we entered it with incredible opportunity and obviously incredible responsibility to the community to do the right thing with all of these things we have in front of us in terms of a great draft pick and in terms of the ability to continue to build our roster. And David's going to be a huge part of that as we move forward from a leadership perspective, as a friend, as a mentor, and somebody that I think you're all going to realize this was a very easy pick to make for us. And I believe our players are already aware of that from their past conversations. So I'd like to tell you as we continue to go through this offseason, the process is going to continue to be thorough and collaborative. This has been one that's been done in lockstep with ownership. We're very blessed that Dan Gilbert, Nate Forbes, and Jeff Cohen have been as involved as they have been. It's been a tremendous process. And this was one that culminated with a tremendous hire that I know we're all very much in lockstep to present to you today. So without further ado, Mr. David Blatt.
That's a great congratulations. Thank you to all. It's a great honor and a joy to accept the position of head coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers. The city of Cleveland and the Cavs franchise are firmly entrenched and intertwined in the fabric of this community. As a new thread in that fiber holding together the past and the future of this great organization, I know it is my job to create and generate enthusiasm, energy, and a winning attitude in the team and for the Cavs fans here and everywhere. Basketball is a great game. It's a team game, a game played by individuals trying to become more as a unit than they could be as a collection of ones. We will be committed to playing as a team, to being good on both sides of the ball. I am not an offensive or a defensive coach. I'm a basketball coach. Someone who through teaching and working with people and getting the best out of my players and staff has always seen the success of the team as paramount and the success of the individuals coming from that group success. Like many teams, we have many areas for improvement that we must address. We have a new system to incorporate, and our team tactic and learning curve in terms of implementing a new style will take time, effort, and commitment. And we will collectively as a staff and organization make every effort together with our fine players to make this a successful and attractive team. Make no mistake, I have won everywhere I've been, from Maccabi through Benetton, through the Russian national team, and back through Maccabi. And I plan on doing the same here and hope to have all of your help. The floor is yours, good people.
Hey, David. Tom Withers, Associated Press.
Hi, Tom.
Welcome. How are you?
Thank you.
Good. Hey, what does this mean to you to be the first coach to make this jump from European League over to the NBA?
You know, I've been coaching for over 20 years in Europe. I played for another 12 years professionally. It's a great honor to represent the fine European coaches that I've worked with and coached against. It's a great honor to have received the benefits of coaching great players, many of whom are now in the NBA and many others who could be. I know that I'm carrying a torch. I hope like hell I don't drop it. I don't plan on it. And it does mean a great deal, but it means more now to be a part of the city of Cleveland and to be able to use those experiences to the benefit of this great club.
You don't have experience coaching in the NBA or in the U.S. Do you see that as a challenge, or what do you think your challenges will be in making that transition from European ball to the NBA?
You know, absolutely, it's a challenge. But I got to tell you, you know, the game is not so different as people think it is. It's a little bit longer here. Perhaps the level of athleticism and speed all around the court is different. But it's not like playing baseball and soccer. It's still the same game. I've coached in enough international games and participated in enough events that include NBA players and NBA teams to know that when you play the game right, it doesn't really make a difference where you play it.
Jason Lloyd, Akron Journal, for both you guys. I'm just wondering, why do you think it took so long for a move like this to happen? Obviously, you're the first to go straight from a European team directly into a head role with an NBA team. Why did it take this long?
My opinion, and I should defer to Griff, because Griff and Dan and Jeff and Nate and others were the ones that had the courage to make that kind of move. I think it was more about the stigma than it was about the qualification. There's no doubt in my mind that there are plenty of great coaches in Europe, just as there are many, many great players in Europe that have already found their way over and become significant players in the best league in the world.
I think a big part of it's just been timing and opportunity. David happened to have swept all of the championships he was capable of winning this year, reached a point in his life where he knew he was ready to make the jump. Quite often, I think international coaches think they want to, and they may have dabbled with NBA teams before, and it just didn't work out. And I think we were in a situation where we've got ownership that very much supports outside-of-the-box thinking, innovation, and creativity. And that's certainly those are all things I care a great deal about. When it comes with a track record of success like David had, it was just a perfect confluence of events, and I think that confluence just hadn't come together anywhere else before.
Somebody told me the reason I did it was because I missed Boston lobsters and macaroni and cheese. There's something to that, honestly. But
David, I'm Jody Bulling with the Cleveland.
Hi, Jody.
Hi.
How are you?
David Griffin talked about this a little bit. Just wanted to ask you, why now? Why is this the right opportunity for you when you've had other chances before?
Honestly, Jody, I sort of came to the point in my career where I felt that I had accomplished, together with others, of course, just about all I could. Growing up as I did, with a transistor radio stuck to my ear, hearing Johnny Most do broadcasts, I kind of had that NBA dream in my ear and in my heart. Found a great life in Israel and in other countries. Was happy and fulfilled in what I was doing, but I never for a moment lost the hope that I would come full circle and make my way back to the places where I grew up and to be part of something that was so much a part of me. So I'm just lucky and fortunate that the great people of Cleveland have decided that I'm the one to make the jump, and I know that I'm going to pay them back with interest.
David, Sam Amico, Fox Sports Live.
Hi, sir.
What adjustments do you feel like you might have to make coaching in Europe as opposed to coaching in the NBA? Is there any adjustments, and if so, what are they?
Oh yeah, sure. Certainly there are adjustments. First of all, the game is longer, you know, and with that comes a whole set of circumstances that I'm going to have to get my hands around. The season is, well, it's not necessarily longer than the seasons that I've coached recently, because we played close to 80 games every year. But an 82 game season in the regular season, compacted into the number of months that you have here, brings with it a whole different dynamic. You know, we were generally playing twice a week, sometimes three times a week. In international competitions, I was playing every day or every other day, but not over the course of a long time. And that, of course, is going to demand a different kind of approach. I tell you, one of the good things is that now I probably can ask any player on the court to jump as high as he has to in order to get the rebound. You know? And I can't look at the guy and say, well, geez, he just can't do it. You know? Now, I'm a big believer in teaching boxing out. You know, and you have, if you're familiar, the concept of negative and positive rebounding. You know, negative rebound, of course, is when you go to the body of the player, you box him out, and then you'll get the ball. And I can still remember myself saying, unless you can jump over the backboard, you got a negative rebound. Well, there's a lot of guys out here that can jump almost over the backboard. So I'm going to have to change my philosophy when it comes to that. You know, people, a lot of people have asked me the question, and I'm gonna throw it out there. You know, how do you deal with the egos of the players in the NBA and all that? You know, I don't buy that. I've had wonderful discussions with the players from the Cleveland Cavaliers, and I find a group of guys that want to be coached, that want to learn, that care about winning. Those are things that I have to emphasize with them, that I have to strengthen, that I have to help them to understand the right way to do it. And you know, I've coached enough great players in my life to know that when guys are happy playing together and are seeing that doing it the right way brings and fosters the spirit you need to win, it doesn't make a difference where you're coaching.
Bill Livingston, Cleveland Plain Dealer.
Hi, Bill.
This is young team. Do they have less to unlearn? Do they have less bad habits to overcome? They really haven't experienced sustained success.
You know, it is a young team, and that means it's, for me, that the slate is relatively clean. That there's a lot of teaching to be done. On the other hand, there are fewer bad habits to break. I know that Griff is working very hard in every way possible to put the best team on the floor. You know, that may or may not include changes, but the guys that I see now are talented and are not that far off from being where we want them to be, which is a winning team that's thinking about going the furthest, not settling for a better season or a little bit of progress. And I think it's easier and even funner to work with guys like that know they have a lot to learn and are willing to learn. And it's my job to do it in the right way.
Joe Gabriel, Cavs.com.
Hi, Joe. Okay. How you doing?
Hey, David, welcome.
Good to see you. Thank you.
My question is, you're coming from overseas, and right away it seemed like you...
Hey, it's a long trip, by the way, people. I just made it last night. I did it twice in the last week. It ain't easy. I want you to know that, and I'm not going back anymore. That's it. I'm done.
Pretty quickly, you hired Tyronn Lue as one of your assistant coaches. What did you like about him? What appealed about him? And what are your thoughts on maybe rounding out your staff?
You know, I really like to start things off with a bang, and I think we did that. You know, and great credit to Griff and to the management. Honestly, as you well know, Tyronn was one of the main candidates to come and coach here. I had the opportunity to have several discussions with Tyronn. Everything that they told me about Ty was true, and then some. Really, really had a great feeling about him. Got tremendous feedback from others concerning his knowledge of the game, his commitment to the cause. And when we were able to bring Tyronn over to the team, no one was happier than I, and I'm really, really happier than me. And I'm really looking forward to the kind of cooperation that he's already experienced with other great coaches and the successful environments that he's been in. It's just an exciting sign for us.
David, Kenny Rose,
from
Ohio, welcome.
Thank you.
You mentioned you're not an offensive coach, you're not a defensive coach, you're a basketball coach, but every coach has a philosophy that he believes in. What is your philosophy that you want to bring here to the Cavaliers?
One of my old players, Drew Kennedy, is sitting here. He was an MVP for me many years ago. And he'll tell you the same thing I'm going to tell you right now. It's always been the same. Play hard, play together, play to win, and have fun. There's not a lot more that I can tell you tactically right now until I sit down with the players and get inside their heads till I see exactly what the final roster is going to be. You know, there's two kinds of coaching. There's systematic, and then there's learning from what you have. I'm more of the second. I won't come in and run the Princeton offense just because I played for the great Pete Carril at Princeton. I'm going to see what I have. I'm going to decide together with the coaching staff what the best way for us to play is. And most importantly, figure out how we're going to win the most games.
What do you think you can bring from the European League maybe that will help this Cavalier team out and maybe might surprise some other NBA players from over there?
Well, I hope I bring the philosophy of Maccabi Tel Aviv, which is never lose a game. Not one, or there's going to be a countrywide investigation. You know, I hope the management didn't hear me say that. I really didn't. You know, there are a lot of things about the European game that are transferable, easily transferable. But you know, more than anything else, and I grew up with this philosophy. My high school coach, and honestly the best coach I ever had, Phil Smokey Merezi, taught me from day one that the ball has energy, that when teams are playing together and the ball is moving, particularly moving fast, everybody's involved and everybody's happy, and the game is easier to play. And that's the kind of philosophy I want to instill here.
Mark Schwartz with ESPN.
Hi, Mark.
Congrats, Dave.
Yeah, thank you.
This is primarily for Griff, but I'd love to hear your answer.
I've been talking enough. Give it to Griff.
Griff, you know, there's an idea, I think, that in this league, you know, when a free agent makes a decision to come to a place, it has to do with so many factors, including relationships, knowledge of track records, and all those things. In your mind, how does David's unfamiliarity and newness to the NBA affect that pursuit for you?
It's a good question. I appreciate that, Mark. I think the thing that stands out to me the most about David is the fact that one of his former players saw fit to come here today and drove from Chicago to be here for the moment and asked himself to do it. This is a man that builds deep, meaningful relationships with players that have lasted a lifetime. And I have no doubt whatsoever he's going to be able to connect with anybody that we put in front of him. And I think as we build the staff, that's a big part of what we're doing as well. You know, Ty Lue is somebody who gives us immediate credibility with a lot of people. He gives David a defensive background in the NBA with one of the best coaches in the NBA. And so we're going to build this as a family. And I couldn't think of a better person to be leading that.
Dave, do you have any thoughts on that? Just how, you know, players that might be considering which coach do I want to play for, maybe looking at Doc Rivers and David Blatt. Why would they choose David Blatt?
Well, I would hope they would choose the Cleveland Cavaliers, first of all. You know, I wouldn't want to put myself into a beauty contest against Doc Rivers. You know, he's a great-looking guy. You know, honestly, I really think that developing relationships is more about the person that you are than the reputation that you have. And I look forward to the opportunity to talk to any of the guys that Griff feels are right to come to this organization. You know, am I the most convincing guy in the world? Probably top four. I have no problem talking to anybody, Mark, and I've always had the kind of relationships with my players where they know that I'm going to be tough with them, I'm going to be fair with them, but I'm going to treat them as human beings just like I want to be treated.
And Mark, I would say that if you're any player and you want to play for somebody that's been a proven winner, who knows how to instill the kind of selflessness that wins championships, you're going to want to hear what David has to say.
Hi, Bob Finan from the News Herald. Griff, how many coaches did you actually hire in this process, and did the process take longer than you thought it would?
You mean interview in the process?
Yeah.
We only hired one, thank God. That's good. Well, I guess two. I think in terms of a full-blown interview, people that we had also meet with ownership, we probably had five or six. I spoke to several people. Sometimes on background, sometimes asking people for guidance and who I should speak to. But it was an incredibly thorough process. I think at the end of the day, through various different forms of interview, you could probably say 11 was the number that we actually had contact with on some level or another to really try to vet out whether or not we could potentially be a fit.
Dave, Griff, John Telich, Fox 8.
Hey, John.
I want to ask Griff first this. Why is this guy the best fit? And then I'd like to ask Dave, all the experience that you've had coaching, why is this the best fit for you?
Some of the points I made in the opening comment in terms of fit, Dave's an innovator, and he's very open-minded. He's very bright. He brings incredible energy and passion to everything he does, which is, I think, obvious by now. This is somebody that fits us on a variety of levels. Style of play. I've seen David win with teams that played slower than I would have ever wanted to play, and I've seen him win with teams that play really fast. He's gotten the most out of whatever talent he's had. And if gritty and overachieving is a talent, he has that. And I think that's something that we want to embody as a team. I think it's what the city represents to a huge degree. I think it's a perfect fit culturally for all of us.
David, Fred McCloud, Fox Sports, Ohio. For those of us who see basketball through the myopic world of the NBA, can you put into words what it's like to feel and deal with the pressure of coaching in a pressure cooker, a nationalistic situation where you have?
Well, that is true myopia, my friend. I worked in Maccabi Tel Aviv. You cannot imagine the pressure of working there, where when you don't win by 20, it's like you lost. You know, I'm fully aware of the both the expectation and the desire of the club to be a winning organization. Pressure for me is something that's second nature after so many years of coaching at the highest level in competitions where you're expected to be one of the top clubs. I also think the best way to deal with pressure is through good preparation and hard work, and I think it makes it a lot easier to go about that. I said in my opening statement, you know, there are a lot of areas that we have to improve in, but that's a good thing, because based on the talent that we have here and the plans that we have here and the commitment on the part of the management that we have and the ownership that we have to make this a great team, there's a lot of room for us to be able to do some special things. And I don't see that as pressure as much as challenge. I'm just, you know, I'm excited and I'm thrilled by the opportunity that I was given to achieve and to help meet the challenges of this team.
You can go to Les and then Tom, and then that'll be it.
Les Levine of Time Warner Sports.
Hi, Les.
How you doing? You talk about being ready right now. Have you been close before, or have you had a chance before?
Over the years, I've had a lot of contact, of course, with NBA people, personnel, and with NBA teams. I've been approached on different levels by teams. Really, the fact that I have not come over before was more a function of me or of me not finding the right situation. The moment that I interviewed with the Cavaliers ownership, and saw their vision, and then of course was ultimately given the opportunity to say yes, it took me a nanosecond to agree, and I'm just thrilled with the opportunity and the chance to show what I can give to the club.
Tom Withers, AP, Parker or Wiggins?
Anthony Parker. I took him once. So did the Cavs, and it worked out great in both cases.
Hey, how exciting, though, is it for you to be here, you know, on the eve of the draft, at the juncture of free agency, with a lot of change and a lot of, you know, potential here?
You know, one of the first things that I noticed when I came here, even starting with the interview process, there was 47 people in the room and me. No, not that many. But there's a spirit of cooperation here. And the fact that I've been allowed immediate access to all and been welcomed to voice my opinion and be part of the process shows me what and how deep the commitment is here for to us being successful. People can say what they think, can offer their opinions. We don't always agree, nor should we, because if everybody in the room agrees, then nobody knows what the hell they're talking about. and I'm excited, and I'm looking forward to helping Griff and the organization in any way that I can, particularly at this critical time.